Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as always, to be able to hang out with you. And, of course, one of my favorite things to do in the whole world is to introduce you to our really smart Brain Trust members. And those folks who've been with us for a long time, especially like our good friend Kelly Oweiler, who this year... Later this year, she will celebrate her 10th anniversary. We will celebrate her 10th anniversary as a member of our Brain Trust. And not quite there yet. We got a few more months to go. But Kelly is the lady, as I told you earlier, who helps us understand how we're impacted by paradoxes, how we react to paradoxes or how we don't react to them, especially when we don't understand them, especially when we don't understand that we're the paradox. And she, along with Jerry Fletcher, are the authors of Paradoxical Thinking, one of my favorite books, How to Profit from Your Contradictions. Kelly Oweiler, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. As always, Kelly, you know, in August, we're going to celebrate your 10th anniversary as a member of the Brain Trust.
We're going to have to do something big for that.
We will have to do that. Have to pop some champagne or something. But Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And to everybody,
and of course I'm talking about, the Chinese New Year. Of course, I mean, I know that's what you were thinking too, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Chinese 4706, the year 4706 in the Chinese lunar year, the year of the rat. Now that's one of these days I'm going to find out what all those animals mean. You know, the year of the lion and the dragon and the bull and all that kind of stuff.
The rabbit.
The snake. Yeah, don't forget the snake. Kelly, one of the things that I was talking to the audience about and I don't know if there are more than two kinds of paradoxes, but I, when I think of paradoxes, I think of at least two universes of paradoxes, and one of them is the paradoxes that come at me from the world, and the other universe are the paradoxes that I create, that I represent, that I give to the world, or that I present to the world. What do you think about that way of thinking?
I think that could be a good way to look at it. My sense is that paradox in itself is a concept. And I think what you're saying is you can find it in any aspect. So you can find it in anything that you present and move outward. You'd also find it within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you could find it anywhere you look out into the world. And the way things will come back at you. So, yes, I think that's an accurate statement.
Well, see, what I'm thinking is I love the way you help us understand paradoxes. And I'm going to get you to give us a little soliloquy on paradoxes in a second. But the thing that I think about is that when there are paradoxes in front of us coming at us from the world, they're probably easier to see and maybe even recognize and identify and deal with. But when we're the paradox, when the paradox is coming from us, that's not as easy to see, and sometimes we miss opportunities. What do you think about that?
I think that's true. As anything, it's easier to see other people's faults or mistakes,
right,
and even their positive attributes than it often is to see our own. And why don't we define paradox?
Go ahead.
A little bit, and we'll make it a simple definition, which is that it's seemingly contradictory concepts, ideas, or actions.
All right, so give us some examples.
An example, well, I was watching MASH the other day. Do you remember the TV MASH?
Yep.
And I was so impressed once again what a perfect example of paradox that is. Here you have these really excellent doctors with very serious medical treatments they're performing in a very serious war. The lives of their patients are in their hands, and there's a pressure that's amazing, and that represented something that was actually true in the Vietnam War.
The Korean War.
In the Korean War, yes. Thank you. My age is showing here. But when in the sitcom, what they also showed is that these doctors, to create the release valve for that pressure and tension, was a tremendous sense of humor and kind of a craziness.
Yeah.
In their joking and their fooling around. But in reality, when you don't have that joking in such a serious situation, there's tremendous and very quick burnout. So one can't really exist without the other. You take one away, if it's only joking, you have bad medical care and people die. If it's only the medical care, the doctors themselves are going to burn out and not be able to take the pressure.
See, one of the things that I've tried to figure out how to do, and I've talked about it on the show before, is how to run a very serious business and still have humor and fun as you're functioning, as you're operating the business. And I'll tell you, it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do.
No, it isn't.
But it is possible. I do believe it is possible, though.
I do too. Part of, you know, what makes something fun, and something that I do with people, and I've done with myself as well, is to name the paradoxes in your business with an oxymoron, which makes them fun. And an example is, I worked with a pharmaceutical company, and it was all the VPs, there were 27 of them, of a particular region of the world. And the first thing we did is figure out what their paradoxes were. And after about 4 hours, they came up with it. What they realized is that their organization, their marketing organization in that part of the world, was like a powerful high-performance engine. They had incredible ideas and knowledge. They were ready to put everything into plan and execute. They had the best executors. They were fired up and raring to go. But at the same time, the organization that they relied on and needed authorization from to move was archaic and slowing them down, and they were losing that momentum. So the paradox that they came up with, which was, well, I think it's very funny and very accurate, is a Maserati engine on a Yugo chassis. It's a contradiction, but it's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you can name it, then you get to see what you want to try and fix. So obviously, you got to do something about that chassis.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, I think you're right. I think, and this is a way of, once you can kind of put a name or a face or a title or something like that on it, it's a little bit easier to deal with it and even to discuss it. Stand by, Kelly. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're right back with our good friend Kelly Ohlweiler. She's the co-author of Paradoxical Thinking. Stay with us.
Hi, Jim. Renee Grant Williams here, author of Voice Power, Using Your Voice to Captivate, Persuade, and Command Attention, something you certainly do. I want to congratulate you on your first decade anniversary. I look forward to being part of your show for many, many more years to come. All the best to you and Devonna.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Use those to your advantage. Take the best and whatever it is that you find there and use it, and it'll help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Lots of good stuff there at smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Kelly Ohlweiler is our guest. She's the author of Paradoxical Thinking, co-author, I should say, of her, along with Jerry Fletcher. We're talking about paradoxes, our paradoxes. And now, one of the things you described, Kelly, a minute ago, when you were talking about the people that that you were working with who came up with this paradox of a Maserati engine and a Yugo chassis, they were presented. Of course, they were part of the paradox, as they were the Maserati engine, but basically, what part of when we think about paradoxes, when we're part of a paradox like that, when we're one way in the world, so to speak, that's what I call whatever it is coming at us, the world is another part of the paradox. How do we deal with these kinds of things when the other side is not going to change?
Well, I think probably the best way to approach it is this. Look at your own paradoxes and deal with them as such. When you look at the world, look at the paradoxes that the world is presenting itself, and then deal with the paradoxes that you see in them. So, for example, if you're working, it's important to know what your own paradoxes are, and maybe we can spend a few minutes about how people, you know, business owners can find that for themselves and their businesses. But if, say, you have a client, and this client is a bear, she doesn't respond. She has certain characteristics that are driving you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
If you sit down and spend the time questioning what paradoxes might be at play and begin to get a sense of who this person is in a more complex way, then you can actually plan how to make your approaches to try and meet that information that you now have figured out. And then as you work with that, you can make adjustments based on what you're finding out more. And I know this works because I worked with the sales team at Digital Equipment for, I guess, about 10 years when they were really big. And that's how we actually discovered this, is the sales department started trying to work with their customers that were very, very difficult and they weren't mm-hmm. getting very far with, and we found it to be quite successful.
How would we identify some of our own paradoxes in our small businesses?
Well, the interesting thing is to identify it for a huge company and a one-person or a 20-person business is exactly the same thing.
Really?
What you have to do is do the thinking to find the paradoxes and understand them. And the best way to do is to set some time aside. If you're one person, you probably need an hour to an hour and a half, and then you can keep revisiting it. If there are more people, you know, add some more time so everybody can get their thoughts and ideas. And what you do is you write down all the qualities and characteristics you can think about that describe your business. And you want to put all the really good things. You want to put the mediocre things.
So we're small.
And you want to put the things that aren't so good.
We're small. We're young. We're nimble. We're forward thinking.
Lots of good ideas.
We're undercapitalized. We're the new kid on the block.
We have late invoicing.
Yeah, exactly. So
yes.
So whatever those things are, okay, then what?
And then once you have a really thorough list, you don't want to have four things. You want to have more like 20.
Yeah.
Do you
make two lists or one? Well,
no,
you list
no. Make the whole list.
So you just keep listing whether they're good or the bad. You put them all on the same list.
Don't look at whether they're good or bad. Just get them all out on one page.
Whatever describes you, and don't just think about the cool things. However you can be described, just put it all on one list. Okay, then what?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's looking into how you see yourself and how you think others perceive you as well.
Okay. All right.
And then you go through. And you look and say, well, which one of these seem as though they're contradictory? Now, mm-hmm. I'm not saying opposite, although they could be opposite.
Right.
But don't seem to work. How could they be in the same business?
Right, right.
And an example might be, you know, you have a lot of knowledge in your business, but you're getting behind in the new technology of the day.
We have a logo of fast service, but yet our trucks are old and decrepit.
Yes, that's a very good one. Yes.
Yeah.
Or you're really forward thinking, but you don't have a plan for putting money aside to develop the ideas.
All right. Now I got about 40 seconds. What do we do with that information?
Once you have that information, you begin to look at the things that aren't working, why aren't they working? And you look at what are the reasons behind this. You get that level, and then you say, what are the reasons behind this?
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, and finally, what are the reasons behind this? You know, the things you come
mm-hmm.
up with. And then you come up with a plan to begin to shift those. Now, the important thing is, the things that are working, you don't want to spend more time on them, but you do want to maintain them.
Right. And maybe get rid of some of the other things or change them?
And then you spend your effort on the ones that you do want to change.
The ones that are
Bring them up to the level of the ones that are working now.
Ones that are paradoxical for what you want to do. Kelly, give us your website, please.
www.kelbergen.com.
Hey, Kelly, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Great to be with you, Jim.
See you next time. Quick break.
Okay, bye-bye.
Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.